1 Corinthians, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to continue our study. We're getting near the ending of our study on the church, but just felt like that we needed to do some of this and bring some of these things to mind that help us remind us what a great privilege it is to be a part of the Church of God. It's a wonderful privilege. It's referred to as the Church of God in the Bible. It's referred to as the Churches of Christ. We're not talking about denominations here. We're talking about it belongs to the Lord. The church belongs to Him. And that's something we always need to keep in our mind. This is His church. He's established it. And we need to always keep that in mind. So we're over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. He says, Paul, that's the first verse, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. This particular letter was written, of course, to the church at Corinth. And if you notice there, he called it the Church of God, which is at Corinth. In other words, it was a church that belongs to the Lord, and this church here specifically was at Corinth. We could call this, now today we have denominations that call themselves the Church of God, the Church of Christ, and things like that, but we could call this God's church here, which is at Jacksonville. The local church is who he's talking about, and they're scattered all over. And I think one of the main things that I kind of want to get over this morning is the fact that the church is a divine institution. There is nothing like it upon the face of the earth. It is not just some organization. It is not some club. That's important you remember that. It's not like a Elks Club or a Moose Club or whatever you might want to call them. It's not like that. It's completely different. The church is completely different. It's a divine institution. It's something that God has established. And in Matthew 16:18, he called it my church. Jesus called it my church. Over in Romans, the 16th chapter, he speaks of it as the churches of Christ. Over in, and here where we read here, he called it the church of God. And in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, he calls it the church of the living God. And I think one of the things that would maybe help us, if we would remember, this is not just some place we come, it's an established, independent, fundamental Baptist church that's been established, and God is the one that established it. We go back to its beginning. I was here in its beginning. I was here in the establishment of this church. I know what God did. I know how he put his hand on this church and had it established. And if we'll just keep that in mind, this is not just some, like I say, some organization. This is a divine institution, something that God established. I'm going to just read a few verses. I'm not going to turn to each one of them for the sake of time and all of that, but I want you to listen to some of the verses in the Bible. We won't read a whole lot, but a few. Over in Acts, the 20th chapter, the 28th verse, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over that which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, as I said, this is not just some organization that's been formed. This is a church, and God said we're to take heed concerning it because he had purchased it with his own blood. Now, I don't know how you feel about the church, but there's, even in America today, certainly there's a lot of people that have an understanding and know that the church is very important, the local church is very important. But a lot of people do not see it as such. It's just become something they can either be a part of and do or not do and all those kind of things. But that's not the way God established it. Jesus said he purchased this with his own blood. And when he's talking about in the churches here, he's talking about the local church. Local churches all over, God has established. So again, I've been trying through these lessons to try to bring that out to you and try to reestablish that in your hearts. It's not that I don't think you know it, but I want it to become important to you. And over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 9th verse, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Apostle Paul said, "I persecuted the church of God." Well, how did he persecute the church of God? He persecuted people. He took people, put them in prison. Some of them was killed for their faith. That's how he said he persecuted the church of God. In 2 Corinthians, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia." Again, he mentions the church of God that was at Corinth. Over in Galatians, the first chapter, he says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, and that the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Once again, you know, one of the last things we studied on what the early church was that it was a persecuted church. And the Apostle Paul said he persecuted the church and wasted it. He caused havoc in the church. And in a few moments, we'll kind of see why it's targeted, why the church is targeted so that there'll be havoc caused in the church. But one of the main things that I would like to share with you this morning is that it is a divine institution. Get a hold of that. I know we've got, you know, local churches. I know this is a local church, but it's a divine institution. It's something God has established. And one of the things, and I think we ought to probably go over there to 1 Timothy, the third chapter of 1 Timothy. Third chapter, and we're going to read verse 15. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." I think it's very important that we understand that this is where the church is, where the pillar and ground of truth is taught. That's the Bible, the Word of God. And the church must stand and be the pillar and the ground of truth. It's got to stay true to the Bible. Always got to stay true to the Bible. In fact, a church that is not true to the Bible really could not be called a true New Testament church. Because the church truly is a place where it's the pillar, it's the ground of truth. You can put a sign up on any building you want to put a sign on, and you can call it some kind of church. But it is not really a church unless it is teaching, preaching, holding to the pillar and ground of truth, the Bible. That's what determines whether it really truly is a church or not. Now, Paul certainly saw it as something other than just some organization. He said, no, the church is the place where the truth is taught, must be maintained, must be held to. The church is that, and that's why it's so important, folks, that we stick with the Bible, stick with the Word of God, constantly looking at ourselves and seeing ourselves and looking, are we doing what God would have us to do? Because it's got to be the pillar and the ground of truth. He was talking about, of course, the local church, you see. And if you even think of those two words, the pillar, the pillars are what holds up a structure. The ground is the foundation that pillar is set on. And it, of course, we know our foundation is Jesus Christ. So it's the pillar. It's the foundation. It's the ground of truth, you see. And it must be maintained. See, we've got to be very careful with the Scriptures and be sure we maintain it. And so, again, folks, it's got to be a place in a community. The local church has got to be a place in the community where the truth is taught and maintained. Amen. So we've got to remember that it's got to be a place where truth is found. You don't find truth in universities. You don't find truth in civic clubs. You don't try and find the truth in the social clubs of America. You don't find truth in the political parties. What I'm saying to you is, I'm not saying there isn't some truth in some of those, but I'm talking about that's not the ground and the pillar and ground of truth. It's the church. It's always the church. That's why Satan loves to destroy the church. and cause havoc in the church. Probably talk about that in a few moments. But the local church has a great responsibility. It is the vocal point. It is the place that God has established for the truth of His Word to be sent out, you see. And so the church is important. This local church is very, very important. It's why one of the reasons, too, you have to be so careful about going outside of the church. There's what you call organizations that try to work on the outside of the church. But the church is to be the center. It's to be where you work out from. People want to go out and maybe establish a little organization or something and work outside the local church. That's foolish because it's not scriptural. You need to work within the local church and then go from out and go out and work and do the work of God and get the word of God out. But the church is that which God has established. Amen. It's always got to be centered around the local church. Now, not only that, you remember that the church and Jesus Christ cannot be separated. They go together. You cannot separate the two. Here's what Christ said to Saul on the road to Damascus. It's very interesting. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, you've got to remember something. Jesus Christ was up in heaven at that time, and he'd been there for quite a few years. And here he's saying to Saul, he said, why persecutest thou me? Who was he persecuting? Well, you can't separate Jesus Christ and the church. He was persecuting the church, but Jesus considered him persecuting him. When you persecute the church, you are persecuting Jesus Christ. And again, I hope that settles in. Hope you understand, Jesus could not separate himself from the church because we are the body of Christ. He is the head. You can't separate the head from the body, you see. And so when he talked about how Paul had persecuted him, it was through because he was persecuting the church, the local church, God's people. And in fact, Paul even said this later on over in Galatians. He said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So he recognized the fact that it was the church, it was the church of God. And of course, through that, he was persecuting Jesus Christ. And he also referred, as we said earlier, the church called them the churches of Christ. Amen. It was Christ's church, you see. And when you persecute the church, you persecute Jesus Christ. Amen. Sure. See, that's serious. That's serious business, you see. And then also, we know that the church is the place where goes out the light of the Word of God. And we talked about it here, about being the pillar and ground of truth. But we've got to always remember, this is an old dark world. And it needs some shining beacons, shining forth the Word of God. God established the church for that very, very purpose. You see, I think I preached this, but I don't remember when. But you go back and you realize that when God made the sun, he made it, and it is reflective of the fact that the Son of God, which is a shining light. The moon is speaking of the church, which reflects the light of the sun. That's how it gets its light. And that is true. That's what the church is to reflect. The church is to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I always referred to the stars as the individual believers. As they shine forth throughout from the church, they shine forth and present the gospel and hold their light up, you see. But we are a reflection of His light. That's why the church is so important. Always, 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 you see, reflects the light of the Word of God, you see. That's so important, and we can't get away from that. That's why in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, you find Jesus writing to the seven churches. Because he was giving them the message. And if you notice in that portion of scripture, it's interesting, in the first chapter of Revelation, it talks about him being in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Well, what is a candlestick? Well, the Bible tells us and explains to us that's the churches. That's the seven churches. And he was in the midst of those seven churches. Well, a candlestick always shines forth. Always, it gives light, you see. And so it's so, so important, folks, that we remember we've got to give forth the light of the Word of God, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And we've got to shine that forth to this community, you see. So in other words, then, we need to remember, we need to shine forth the light of the gospel of Christ. I want to take a few moments then to look and see, and we're going to go over to the book of Acts, the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Fifth chapter. I want you to understand something, and again, it's probably a reminder more than some new teaching I'm giving you, but it's a reminder. Satan targets the church. That's his target, because it is the place where the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth from. So that is his target. He will do everything he can to try to destroy the church and bring it to the place where it's ineffective and it's not usable for what God intended for it to be used for. In Acts, the fifth chapter, let me show you something here, and let's read. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of their price. His wife also, being privy to it, had brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? If you'll notice here, Satan is the source of the first problem that was told us in the scripture, in the church. Satan was the one was back of it. He's the one that caused the problem here. In other words, he used individuals, but he was the one who was back of it. He said, Satan has filled thy heart. The first problem you find within the church comes because old Satan targeted the church and to cause havoc and problems within the church. You see, he loves to stir up trouble in the local church. He loves it. And boy, has he been successful in America. He certainly has been successful. He loves to stir up trouble in the local church. You've got to understand that. That's his target. That's what he's after. You see, because it's that institution which God established here to shine forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got to be very, very careful. He always wants to dispel that light that is shining forth from a church. He wants to do something to destroy it. Let me say this to you. I've seen it for 31 years. I'm seeing it even here today. I'm seeing it around in areas, churches around the area. Oh, Satan's doing everything he can to stir up trouble and problems and heartache. And he's trying to divide and cause schism and problems in the churches. He loves that. Man, he just loves that. And we'll say a little more about that in just a minute. But he's always wants there to be unrest in the local church, you see. And you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that people do not understand. If we are the ones whom Satan uses to cause disrest and strife and disunity, we are being used by Satan. Now, folks, I wish God's people would get a hold of that. There's nowhere in the scripture, nowhere that I know of, anywhere in the scripture that God ever instructed a man to bring disunity in the local church. So if he didn't do that, who is it? Who's it coming from? It isn't coming from God. God is not the author of confusion. God does not stir up people to stir up and cause problems in a church. Never. That comes from Satan. He's the author of that. And he can even sometimes use, certainly, people who are Christians. Now you say, how do you know that? Because Ananias and Sapphira supposedly were born again. And old Satan come in and stirred up there something and caused problems and havoc in the church. Certainly. You see, that's why we got to stay spiritual. That's why we got to stay close to the Lord. We can't let Satan use us to stir up problem in the local church. You see, you just can't let that happen, you see. Because that's not of God. See. And listen to me. I know I'm dwelling here a little while, but you older folk can help us. You see, you know one thing. Listen to me. You know one thing. If someone comes to you and begins to gripe and complain and stir up trouble in the local church, you know that's not from God. Now, you know it isn't. You know it isn't. That's not from God. God don't do that. So you can help by stopping that. Amen. Putting a hammer on it. Say, let's go see the pastor. You've got something to tell me. Now let's go see the pastor. He may need to know this. Yeah. Just bring him. Bring him to me. You see, in all seriousness, folks, this is serious business because, you can't control everything that goes on in the local church. These little old schisms and these little things go on in behind the scenes. Amen? And you only people can stop that is people who's listening to it. Amen? And remember something. Know something for sure. That's not of God. God's not behind it. God's not the author of it. God is never the author of confusion. Never is. So just know that when someone begins to stir up trouble and problems, know immediately, say, that's not of God. Oh, that's of Satan. God would not stir up trouble in his local church. Amen? You keep that in mind and remember that. It'll help you and help your church, you see. So just keep your mind on those things and remember the local church is the divine institution, something that God established, you see. And he's well capable of taking care of the local church. I'll guarantee you, he can take care of it. Amen? Now, there needs to be things addressed. Don't get me wrong. Certain things need to be addressed. There's no doubt about that. But it's done in the right way. Amen? It's not going out here behind everybody's back and stirring up trouble and talking to other people all about all these things. There's a way to handle things. Way to take care of things, you see. That can be godly and proper, you see. There's certainly things need to be handled, don't they? Taken care of. Certainly, because we're all humans. But there's a way to do that. So just keep in mind, I know I'm hanging my hat there, but you keep in mind something. Somebody that stirs up trouble is not doing so because God told them to. Is that right? God would not tell you to go stir up trouble in the local church. No way under the sun would he do that. No. God would never do that. So you just keep that in mind. So that's how Satan targets that, of course, which is important to God. And the church is important to God. Jesus died for the church. Gave his life for the church. And it's important to God. And old Satan wants to target the church and destroy the church. I imagine most of you probably could give me story after story of churches maybe over the years or seen, things you've heard, problems and troubles that's come. I don't want to know them. I know enough myself. But you've probably seen it down through the years how trouble's been stirred up in the local church and the problems and the heartaches and they've lasted for years and years and some of them are still lasting and all that. That's not of God. That's no way that's of God. God never instituted that. Amen. So just keep that in mind, you see, and remember that. All right. Next, you know, the local church is truthfully the greatest concern of God on earth. Because it is that, which we've already stated, but it is that which God has established to bring forth the blessed book, the Word of God. So it's God's concern. I really believe something with all my heart. I really believe God's interested this morning in what goes on here. I really do. I think he's interested in all of our little ministries that we have around here. I think he's interested, Brother John, in the bus ministry this morning. I think he's interested in bus ministry and how many young people was picked up and all those things. And I think he's interested in what goes on in our hearts here in this congregation. And as we'll gather in a little while to hear the Word of God preached, I think God's interested. I think he's interested in Sunday school classes, children's churches, all of those things. I think God's interested. He's concerned about it, you see, because this is his church. Amen. So he certainly is concerned about it. And I think we've covered this basically, but if you'll kind of go back, you'll remember those seven churches in the book of Revelation. Those were written to local churches. Now, we've mentioned that quite a bit because you've got this thing going around, whether you've heard it or not, but it's been going around a lot of years. You know, it's this invisible church out there somewhere. Well, no, he's not talking to an invisible church out there somewhere. He's talking to local churches. Now, we understand, I understand that every person who's born again is a part of his body. I believe that. I understand that. I know that. But he deals with local churches. Amen? He deals with them. That's why he wrote to seven different ones in the Bible there in the book of Revelation. He's dealing with local churches like ours. And he critiques them. You've heard your preacher say it. Oh my, I wonder what he'd say about us. If he wrote out like he did in the book of Revelation, I wonder sometimes what he'd say about us. It's kind of scary, isn't it? It really is. You know, what would he say about this church here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? What would his critiquing entail? What would he say to us? What would he say about us? And maybe there'd be some things we need to repent of. Amen. Amen. So I'm just saying to you, we just need to remember the local church and how important it is. All right. I might make mention in the seven churches, there was no place in the seven churches when he wrote to the seven churches that he ever said to anyone in them churches to get out and away from them. He always told them to repent and do right and strengthen that which remains. He knows the weakness of human beings. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we are but of dust. But you don't find him saying anywhere in the seven churches that he wrote to, you don't find him saying to any of them, get out away from them. Now listen, we're talking about Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. Liberal churches that do not preach the Bible, you need to get away from them. Because that's not a church. That's not the ground and pillar of truth. But he doesn't tell us to run from our responsibilities. He tells us to get in and strengthen that which remains. And so again, that's very, very important. We see this, whether you are familiar with all this, I don't know what you're familiar with and what you're not, and a lot of it I don't know what's going on. But I want to tell you what, even in this community right here, we see church hopping, going from one church to another church, get mad at this church, and they run over here to this church. And so they'll be there a while. And so then it won't be long, they'll run over here to another church. And they'll be there a while. Won't be long, they go to another and somewhere. They just jump all over the place. That's not godly. There's nowhere in the world that God would have us to do that. No way. Under the sun. Whenever you build a church on that, what you've got is a proselyting church, and it won't be long, somebody will steal them from you. And they will. Because they're used to jumping. Going here, going somewhere else, jumping into this, jumping into that. And I know, church, I know. They've been built on proselyting. They've done everything they could to get somebody else's members, and they went out after other people's members, and they got those other people's members, and now they're losing them to somebody else. You can't build a church on proselyting. Did you ever, I don't know what you ever noticed there's not, but you ever notice that there's very few people come from other churches to this church and want to come here? Did you ever notice that? Do you know how your pastor handles that? When someone does come, I make sure that they go back to that other church. I've done this for a good little bit now. They go back to that other church, and they get right with the pastor and the church. And they get back down there or up there or wherever it is where they belong. And if they ever would come here, it'd be because over a period of time, they truly believed that God wanted them here. And they'd got things right in their local church where they are. They didn't leave all mad and aggravated. It's no good. So we don't get a lot of those who jump just for the sake of jumping. Now, I'll be truthful something. I don't want them. See, Brother Ross, don't you want to build your church? Yeah, there's plenty of souls out there that needs to be saved. That's where we need to build our church at. Understand? Understand? Oh, I know you say, Brother Ross, there's sometimes people leave for a right reason. That's right. And if they do, it's okay. If they're leaving because of scriptural reasons, and they truly, because they're tore up, because the Word of God's not being preached, it's not being done right, that's all right. There's a time and a place to do that. Absolutely. Now, I don't blame them a bit. I would too. But you got to be careful. You just got to be careful, folks. Amen? So God's concern is with the local church. He cares about it. He wants to keep it pure. He wants to keep it straight. He wants to keep it clean. Amen? So we just got to do everything we can. In the writing of Revelation there to the seven churches, The key word that I find throughout those seven churches, we've not went back there and studied them today, but you're familiar with them, the letters, the five, seven letters that's written there. The key word is always repent. key word is always repent. God says there's something wrong, repent. Get it right. Let's do right. See, that's the secret of things, is not for us to get mad and aggravated, but repent. Let's do right. Let's do what we should do, you see, and repent and do right. See, that's the secret to it. That's what God calls out for us to do. You know, everybody probably in here at some time or another is probably somebody's made them mad. I mean, probably, more than likely. You know, every one of us could say, man, I'm just going to get out of here, or get out of there, or go somewhere. You know, I'm just saying this. Folks, that's not the answer. The answer is get it right. Get it taken care of. Amen. Get the thing where it ought to be. You see, repent. Do right. See, that's the answer to everything. And because whether we understand it or not, this even right here, let's talk about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It sits here on the highway, State Road 59. It sits here as a beacon, as a lighthouse for the Lord. What goes on in this church, what comes out of this church, absolutely sets a standard for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And other people, in other words, people are going to look at us. They're going to see what in us, they're going to see what they think Christ is. And so I say to you, it is important that we keep things right and straight and narrow and do right and all those things, no matter what anybody else says. Amen. See, it's very important. See, just keep it down the line. Keep it going right. See, no matter what anybody says, you see, just keep right on down the line. In other words, we're talking, and let me remind you again, we're talking about Bible-believing churches. I'm not talking about the liberal. I'm not talking about the modernist churches that's turned from the Word of God. I'm talking about the churches that stand as a pillar and a ground of truth. And that's what we must always remain at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you see. As we mentioned earlier, we talked about how in the book of Revelation, it said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks or churches, one like unto the Son of God. Now I'm reminded constantly, I guess maybe because I'm the pastor, but I'm reminded constantly every time I come to a service, every time I step into this place, that Jesus Christ is concerned about what's going to go on today in every service. He's concerned about the singing. He's concerned about the preaching. He's concerned about the praying. He's concerned about the Sunday school classes, concerned about the children's church, concerned about the bus ministry and every ministry and the nursery and the ushers and the tape ministry. And he's interested in this choir that we're going to start. He's concerned about these things, that they all glorify him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm reminded of that all the time. Reminded of that all the time, that it does make a difference. You know why? Because he's in the midst. Amen. I tell people, you've heard me tell, he cares what you're thinking about even right now. He cares why you come this morning. Amen. Cares why I'm preaching this morning. Cares why Sunday school teachers are teaching this morning. Because he is in the midst.